Day 5779, 8 a.m. Written by Maldoror. Read by Opalsong. Fandom Naruto. Rating General Audiences. Relationship Gaara Rock Lee. Also tagged for Adopted Children and OCPOV. This is a bonus epilogue for the Diplomatic Relations series. Summary. A final epilogue to the Diplomatic Relations series, some 15 years after the events in Kindred. Day 5779, 8 a.m. Hey, Kichiro! Chiro didn't look up as he made the second incision over the abdomen. Just a sec. Okay, but hurry, man. Nilam, I am about to dissect a liver. That's not something I can hurry, Chiro grumbled. We just saw your dad in the quad. He'll be looking for you. Chiro paused, scalpel poised over the cadaver. Lee, I didn't think you knew him. Sure I do, man. He took me, Rose, Kasu, and the others out for lunch that one time. I never forget a guy who feeds me as much steak as I can eat. Oh, yes. Lee had enthusiastically invited what felt like half of Chiro's class out for a huge meal at his expense once. But since that was the start of the year, when he'd helped Chiro move into his new rooms, and they were now approaching the end of second term, that was still a remarkable feat of memory. Or so Chiro thought. Until he realized Nilam and Selena were both sporting large grins. We've seen you two hanging out together, too. He visits you a lot, and... Nilam rolled his eyes deliberately, drawing out the silence like the amateur class clown he was. And the eyebrows, man. The eyebrows. They run in the family. Yes, they do. Even Aki's had filled out when he'd hit puberty, though they looked better on him, in Kichiro's opinion. Thanks for telling me. He straightened the diagram, clipped to the edge of the stainless steel table's rim, and brought the scalpel to bear again. Aren't you gonna go say hi? Don't he live like an hour away? He'll know I'm busy. He'll wait. Lee was always hyper aware that his son was a very industrious medical researcher in training, and when he dropped by unannounced, would usually start by apologizing 10 times for interrupting before letting Chiro drag him out to the local diner. Chiro. Hmm? Rose, Chiro's lab partner, wet a cloth and put it over the incision. Go. We can do this later. I'll put the body back in the morgue. Chiro hesitated, glancing at the clock at the entrance to the large dissection room. No, we don't have to. He'll wait. Maybe he will, or maybe he won't have the time, Rose said quietly. She was a quiet girl with an exceptionally deep voice, that made Chiro think of rosewood oboes when he was being fanciful, which was more and more the longer he knew her. Last time he dropped by, he could only stay an hour. Good point. That was just the one time, but if you don't mind. His latex gloves were already halfway off. It'd been over a month since he'd seen Lee, which was rare. The university town of Edendare was only a long day of travel away from Sunagakure. A day for Chiro, which was only an hour for Lee. The Jonin normally dropped by each time a mission took him anywhere near this part of the world, and sometimes just because he had a free day and wanted to make sure his boy wasn't working too hard, was eating right and getting enough exercise. But Lee had been so busy with those missions in Stone Country that he hadn't dropped by for ages. Chiro himself went home every few weeks, but had missed his foster dad last time. "We saw him near the cafe just as we were coming here," Neelam offered. "If I'd known where you were, I'd have gone over and told him." He waved and headed towards his own lab bench. Selena, whose partner hadn't yet shown up, lagged behind. Chiro caught her stare and lifted his chin interrogatively. "The eyes too, huh?" she said, amused. "They're also a family thing?" "Yeah, yeah," Chiro muttered. His eyes weren't that unusual, really, but a weakness in reaction to the raw sun that had bathed his childhood had forced him to wear glasses when he'd turned 12. They accentuated the roundness, which he thought of as the Lee effect. He could have had his eyesight corrected. If he'd gone on to become a shinobi, he would have had this corrected out of necessity. But Chiro had decided to go his own path, in this and many things. He did not want to become a fighter or a killer. At 20, Chiro knew where his niche was. In academe, where he would one day invent and develop new medical treatments for both shinobi and the general populace. A job that would save lives at a remove, that would allow him to build himself a wall of knowledge and tasks and research around him. It was a job that pretty much required glasses as a prerequisite, over which one day to look at rowdy 20-year-old students who would refuse to listen. Lee and Aki had not understood his choice. Oh, they'd been behind it 110%, but they'd not understood it. He still had their wholehearted support. He had his entire family's support, including the support that mattered the most. The one person who did understand that, for Chiro, safety and stability did not come naturally, but had to be constructed brick by brick, like the solid walls of this famous university and research center in Wind Country. Chiro trotted out of the quad, looking for a familiar green-clad figure. Lee was supposed to visit him, incognito, for reasons of safety and discretion, but had never quite grasped the mechanics of going around looking low-key, other than taking off his Leaf Jonin insignia and vest. Fortunately, Edendare was very metropolitan and attracted all types. Even Lee didn't get noticed too badly. At this time of day, the quad was heaving with people, which Chiro had forgotten to factor into account. How was he going to find Lee in this press? Just as he made up his mind to go back to the lab and hope they could catch up later, Os, Selena's lab partner, wandered over with a bunch of coffee cups in a holder. "Hey, Kichido, you looking for your dad? He took off a minute ago that way." The direction of the dorm. Of course, at this time of day, Chiro was reliably there, if not in the lab or the library. "Thanks." He sped down the street. Students streamed by, but Chido's height gave him an advantage. He almost missed Lee anyway, as the figure he was searching for was past the turnoff leading to the university student housing block. Fortunately, Chiro caught a slice of profile reflected from a bookstore window. Familiar shoulders, familiar black hair caught in the collar of a nondescript vest, and the flash of familiar eyebrows and profile. Chiro jogged towards him, making his way at countercurrent to the student flow. "Hey, Dad!" The figure tensed and spun around. Wow, must have been a rough mission, Chiro thought, horrified, because that was the first reason that came to mind to see Lee's face so changed. It wasn't Lee. Cheeto stumbled to a stop 15 feet away. He stared at the stranger. Not a stranger. The man stared back. Moments ticked by. Cheeto stood there, agape, unmoving, one hand stuck out in an abortive high motion, the other grasping a small lump on a string beneath his tee and lab coat, a shaped piece of sand he'd had around his neck for over 15 years. Two students walked through the 15 feet of space between them, arguing about something. The man in the street glanced at them, then back at Cheeto briefly, then vanished. What the hell? Cheeto jumped and spun around. Neelam, Os, and Selena were coming up behind him. They must have followed Cheeto to come say hi, and hopefully cage a late breakfast off a visiting parent with well-known generous tendencies, a time-honored university tradition. Your father's a shinobi? Selena asked, startled, staring at Cheeto. That wasn't my father, said someone, somewhere a little bit to Cheeto's left. He did recognize his own voice after a couple of seconds. Os and Selena swiveled to look in askance at Neelam, who'd been the only one to actually meet Lee at the start of the year. Really? Neelam gaped. But I've seen him at... I mean, I'm not good with faces, but come on, who else looks like that? Dude, sorry. You need to return to the university, Cheeto said, walking by them quickly. What? Why? Now! Cheeto didn't look back to verify that they obeyed him. He knew they would. He knew they'd be wondering at that tone coming from the bespectacled nerd they thought they knew for the rest of the school year. Cheeto broke into a run. Then he bullied his body into producing chakra, which he really should be practicing more. Edendare had a small garrison near the quad to watch over the school. It had once been manned by city guards and one or two low-level sand shinobi on contract to the local authorities, as the university had a few old tomes and jutsu scrolls which they studied. The security had been discreetly beefed up 2 years ago when Cheeto had started his pre-residency year. Though they were still dressed as city guards, the entire contingent of 6 were now Suna shinobi. Cheeto had only been there a couple of times. He rarely had cause to go. He burst through the gate to the small courtyard, startling the chunin on guard duty. Hey, who? Oh, Roxxon, sorry. I didn't need to talk to Commander Amar, Cheeto said, voice dull and clipped. Is there a problem? Cheeto brushed right past him. Commander? Commander Amar's office was on the second story of the small building, and he usually had his window open in the warm, dry climate of Edendare. Fortunately, he was at his desk. Cheeto saw him stand up and lean out the window. Cheeto-kun? What's the matter? Sir. Cheeto's arms were at his belt, which no longer bore kunai. It'd been 10 years since he'd left the academy, but somehow it came back naturally. There's a shinobi from Mist undercover in Edendare. I ran into him just now, near Sato Street. He took off, heading to the gate. He knows I made him. A small child inside Cheeto listened to the report with belated consternation. He had just betrayed... No, not betrayed. It was my duty. He had just done what I needed to do. To ensure my safety and that of my fellow students. It was done now anyway. Not that he had looked hostile. Why was he near the quad? Did he even know I was in this city? Was he really looking for me, or was it just a coincidence? It was done. He had just given up Rock Katsudo to the Shinobi of Sand. He had done his duty. Rock Kichido's loyalties were to Konoha, to Suna, and to his family. And Rock Katsudo was an enemy of all three. As well as other things that were too large and fragmented to fit into Cheeto's mind at present. Their very absence left Cheeto feeling hollow inside, like a bamboo pipe reverberating under shock. Amar made 3 sharp gestures to a woman who'd poked her head out of the next office over. A Jonin. Chido could feel it from her chakra levels. The woman vanished.
"Please come into my office, Chido-kun,"
Amar said steadily.
"Yes, sir."
An hour and a half later, Chido was back in front of the corpse. Other students had gathered in the dissection room by then. End of term was coming up, and they all had papers to work on. Chido would have preferred to do his work earlier, when the place was quieter, before the stability of his world had shattered. Rose had been reading a book when he came in. Her welcoming smile had slipped as their eyes met. But she'd not asked any questions, just marked her page and gone to get their assigned cadaver again. Chido had been staring at it for 10 minutes now.
"Hey, sorry, man."
Chido tensed and looked around. Crap, Neelam. Chido didn't mind seeing his friend ordinarily, just not now.
"You okay?"
Neelam asked, hands stuffed in his pocket. His face had lost his usual droll, seen-it-all attitude. He looked his age for once.
The guards were asking me all kind of questions. Apparently that was some dangerous guy we saw. Sorry I sent you out there. I seriously thought..."
"It's okay. You couldn't know. No harm done. He wasn't..." Chido dried up before he could say he wasn't here for me. It had only taken him a minute to bring Amar up to speed with the very, very little he knew. Amar had insisted Chido stay in his office under guard for the hour that followed, until they'd determined that Katsuro was no longer anywhere in the vicinity, and had probably fled Edendare. Chido had complied. Actually, he'd sat there like a pigeon who'd just flown smack dab into a window and was too stunned to move. Too many questions had swamped him. The ones thundering through his head, and all the questions he should have hurled at that man in the street. There had been so many ways he could have reacted. So many ways he should have reacted. Instead, he just stood there like a stump. Of course, even now, a whole hour and a half later, he still couldn't say how he should have reacted optimally. Attacked Katsuro? That's what Aki would have done. And he'd have had a good chance of taking him down, the overachieving, on-the-jonin fast-track brat. Chido wouldn't get the first swing in before being very dead. Would he be dead? Would Katsuro... He just stood there. He hadn't even said anything. He hadn't asked a single question. Questions. Questions had grown like a canker on his soul when he'd first come to Sunagakure, but they had also buffered him against the rawness of the world. They'd been his shield and his weapon, and the armor that isolated him like a thin crust of sand of his own. Their eventual answers had been the bridge spun out of nothingness that had finally led him out of the bad place, the deep inner place. There'd been questions he had never had an answer to. That the man he had just seen was the only person in the world to be able to answer. Not that he would have answered. Probably. Would Chido be able to believe anything he said anyway? Chido had just stood there, mute.
"Hey."
He looked up. Realized he'd been dumbly sitting at the dissection table, pretty much like he'd been back in Amar's office, one finger trailing uselessly on the anatomy chart, the other grasping his pendant so hard it was probably ruining the lines of his t-shirt with permanent stretch marks. "Oh, Rose, sorry, I'm not super focused today." Rose just looked at him steadily for a few seconds, and then asked,
"Did I understand right? The man you saw there wasn't your father?"
The words died on Cheeto's tongue, so he just shook his head instead. Rose didn't know anything about Cheeto's history. Only the half-dozen sand shinobi and a well-chosen university counselor had any knowledge of Cheeto's past.
Rose nodded as if she understood something from his silence anyway. Okay. Cheeto called his attention to order and picked up the scalpel and immediately put it down again.
Oh boy, no way.
What? Rose looked at him, startled. Cheeto got to his feet, giving the clock above the lab a disbelieving look.
No way! It's not been much over an hour. How did he get here so fast?
Neelam, at the next table, glanced at him curiously. Neelam's partner, Mate, was staring at the door out of the lab and his face was white. Mate was a one-time shinobi in training, like Cheeto had been. Cheeto glanced over his shoulder at the bodyguard that Amar had stationed in the room, discreetly dressed as usual, in an Eden Dare guard uniform. The jonin, who'd been staying out of sight of the civilians, took a step forward with a faintly resigned look on her face.
Did you warn him?
Cheeto asked quietly.
The commander sent a message, but it can't have reached Suna more than 30 minutes ago. I don't know how he got here so fast.
What are you guys on about? Neelam asked from over at his table. The double doors of the place blew open with a rather impressive wham.
Oh boy,
Cheeto muttered again. Long acquaintance with Lee had battled successfully against the crude vernacular that students his age usually picked up. Hey! One of the TAs moved to intercept the figure marching through the long room. Then the man, untrained and ignorant civilian though he was, let instinct take over and dodged out of Gata's way. Cheeto stripped off his gloves again and took a step forward, catching Gata's attention across the room. Though Gata had to know he was here, had come straight here by the looks of it.
Kazekage-sama,
the jonin murmured. Gata walked right past her and grabbed Cheeto by the upper arms.
Are you all right?
I'm completely fine, Cheeto said, grinning. And he was. There was a well-remembered feeling of prickly static in the air. A random spark jumped from a faucet to a student's hand one table over. For those sensitive to chakra, the air rumbled and roiled with a smell of copper and ozone. It would be unsettling to some. Mate looked like he was about to throw up. But Cheeto? His world was suddenly solid again. Gata gave him a drill-like stare, also familiar, and then seemed to relax a fraction.
How did you get here so fast? Why are you even here? You can't have gotten the message yet.
Cheeto asked curiously. The green-on-green eyes flickered towards the jonin.
You sent me a message.
It was both question and affirmation, which meant Gata had passed the messenger bird on the way over and didn't even know what was wrong, though he now knew something was up.
Yes, sir,
the jonin answered respectfully. The mark on Gata's brow had faded a little in the past few years. It wrinkled to barely readable as he frowned.
I felt something was wrong. I did not know what.
That's pretty impressive intuition, Cheeto said. Though I wasn't in any danger. He didn't think. He wasn't sure. Probably not. But he couldn't be sure, and he hadn't asked any questions. Gata wouldn't blame him for not asking questions or attacking. Gata would have wanted him to do exactly what he'd done. Stay safe, warn the garrison, not get hurt, and not do anything that could rip up the foundations of the stable world that Gata had helped Cheeto build for himself over the past 15 years. In Gata's world, defending what was precious was more important than answers, infinitely more important than revenge. One of the hands still clasped his upper arm. Even now, Gata rarely touched people other than those in his most immediate circle. Cheeto reached up and squeezed the tense fingers. He could feel chakra roil around them. Everybody around the large room was staring, even though most of them were not shinobi and would not know why the intense man dressed in red and black with the gourd on his back was holding all their attention and making them feel jittery. Cheeto, amused, made a bet with himself. He'd shot up to Lee's height these past 4 years. He was now a bit taller than Gata, eyes almost level with the hair that had grown less crimson blood and more dusty red over the years. Chito could ask the opinion of everybody else present as soon as Garada left, and they would all tell him with complete certainty that the other men had definitely been taller than he was. It was just one of those things. Garada gave him one more once-over, eyes unblinking in the pool of black marks around them. Like the scar on his forehead, they had also changed in the intervening years. Crow's feet invading the corners, a few wrinkles from the sun and the burdens of office, from concern in the immediate. Finally, the hand gave Chito a pat and left his arm. Garada glanced down without much curiosity at the corpse behind Chito, then at the Jonin, who nodded faintly. Unspoken words about Cheeto's safety exchanged with one look. "I need to talk with Amar," Garada stated. "I'll stay here," Cheeto said, answering the question that had not been asked, but that hung there anyway. Rose and I, this is Rose, my lab partner, and my friend. We need to get this done. It's for our end term." "We're safe here," was what he was saying in the subtext. "And I need to do this." Garada understood deadlines and obligations, and getting one's life back on track. He nodded once, at Chito, not at Rose. Over 2 decades as Kazekage had not gotten him much better at social niceties. "I'll be done by lunchtime. I'll come find you then. We can eat together. We can talk," said Chito softly, once more building that bridge across the chasm. Garada turned without any other form of ceremony, making his way to the double door where a Chunin and Amar had appeared and were politely waiting for him. Whispers surged up as he left. "That's Garada of the Sand," Chito heard hissed from the lab table at his left, a couple of students from Wind Country's capital. Wow, Chito hadn't heard that in a while. Not those words, not in that tone. Those words were imprinted onto his childhood in the same way old training scars from his academy days were. In the same way his naturally fair skin still bore traces of deep tan. Yet, said like that now, years later, knowing the man behind it all as well as he knew anyone, it sounded foreign. It sounded wrong. It sounded like a monster. Chito was an adult now. He knew there was no such thing as monsters. There were just men. Some were trying to redeem the sins of their past. Others had never found the way to, or had never tried. Chito sighed internally and shook himself. So much for not standing out. He'd made it almost 2 years at a day's trip from Sunagakure without anyone knowing who he was related to. That was already pretty amazing. This revelation might make things a bit uncomfortable, a bit different, a bit complicated. Chito didn't care all that much, certainly less than he did when he'd gotten out of bed this morning. It didn't seem that important anymore. "That was intense," Neelam had, once again, wandered over. Mate was still standing 10 feet away, gripping the edge of the dissection table. Dude, was that Garada of the Sand?" Chito looked at Rose, addressing her even as he answered the question. "No, that was my father. Come on, let's get started. I think my afternoon is going to be very busy. And I want to take you to lunch with us, if you don't mind. Get to meet him when he's a bit less... actually, he's mostly always like that. But you get used to it." Rose nodded and picked up her own scalpel. The end. The music used in this podfic is Sadness into Kindness by Little by Little. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!